Welcome to The Grow Show, powered by Steel. On The Grow Show, we share ideas, tips, tactics, and insights to help you grow your landscaping business based on our team's 40 years of experience running a landscaping company and working with other owners and their teams to do the same. New episodes are released weekly on Wednesdays. Here's your host, Marty Grunder.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever the case may be. This is Marty Grunder from Grunder Landscaping Company and The Grow Group with another exciting edition of The Grow Show, powered by Steel. Today in the Steel Studios, we have Lisa Grunder, same last name, no relation, just kidding. It's my wife, Lisa, and we're going to have a great conversation here in a minute. Many of you have been asking for this show, so we decided to go ahead and record it. But first, a reminder, you can get the latest edition of The Grow Show delivered to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch us on YouTube for an enhanced learning experience. The Grow Show is the greatest thing since the Steel GTA 26, folks. My wife is laughing because this is like my favorite toy in the house, and it's a great pruning saw that Roger Phelps and the fine folks at Steel make. Father's Day is coming up. Mothers, great thing to get a father. Landscapers, great thing. I keep it in my truck. That way it's on a job site. Always make sure you're wearing your safety equipment. But the GTA battery operated 26, it's a great tool. You ought to give it a whirl. I know you like that. That thing's a big favorite of mine. Lisa, welcome to The Grow Show.
Thanks so much.
We are really glad you're here today. Let's give our listeners and viewers today a little bit of a background. Tell everyone where we met, how we met, and we'll get started with that.
We met at the University of Dayton our senior year, and that's just where all the magic started, I guess.
1989,
and I moved back right after graduation, back to Chicago for a summer, but then was able to find a job here in Dayton that brought me back. Worked for Head Start for a little bit, and then worked for a public school and extended day kindergarten, and then first grade before I stopped to stay home for 13 years with our kids. And then, then I ended up going back to teaching at the school where our kids were at.
And so, you taught kindergarten at Incarnation. You just retired last May.
I did.
For 15 years. It was a great experience. Your degree's in elementary education from the University of Dayton. My degree's in business. We started the business. I had the business going when I met you. And, you did see me working when I was at college. We didn't really tell our kids about my grades, but they weren't very good. And I was working through college. When we got married, there were some fun things. Why don't you tell a little bit about what your family used to do at spring break, and I can share what I used to do.
We would always go to Florida, so for our spring break, and that tradition.
Drive down there in a van.
We would drive down, all five kids in
like
a van.
20-hour ride?
Sometimes caravan with other families,
22 hours, right.
But, that is just what I grew up doing. So.
And when we got engaged, you said that we're going to go on spring break, and I told you that I can't go on spring break, that's my busiest time of the year. And you said, well, that's a non-starter. We're going on spring break. And I said, we're going on spring break. And I wasn't always the greatest spring break participant, was I?
No, it took you some years.
Yeah.
To get
and back. What were the issues? Tell everyone what the issues were.
You were a little tightly wound.
Yeah.
So it would take probably at least half the vacation for you to just settle down and enjoy the beach and enjoy the Groundhog Day of doing the same exact thing every single day, which was not your favorite. And so, but this was in the time before cell phones, really, before
computers,
laptops and, all that. So you really it was hard for you to stay connected with the company. So there were some spring breaks that I just went with the kid, with Emily when she was little, since I was a teacher, and That was my time to go. So I was going.
Right.
So
we have four children, and
yes,
and they range right now from 30 down to 23.
Yes.
And the three oldest are girls. The two oldest are married. Lily, our youngest daughter, is going to get married in September.
Yes.
And we'll have the kids on periodically here on a future edition of The Grow Show. So I don't want to feature too much about them, but it was a struggle for us to run the business and raise them and make it work financially. I mean, early on, we didn't have a lot of money, did we?
We were busy.
Yeah.
We were very busy, and we did not have much at all. And But it worked. It worked for us. I mean, I don't think our kids felt that, you know, any years were struggles, you know, and they were.
And we weren't eating at the soup kitchen or getting handouts. Our extra money went back into, we're at Byers Road, which is the same property that we had, you know, it's been altered and brought up to standards of 2024. It wasn't like we ate at a soup kitchen or anything, but like the profits that we made got plowed back into the business. Like you drove a Honda, I had a Ford Explorer. We finally had to break down and get a used Suburban to fit everybody in. So, I mean, there were things there. When you think back, how tough was that? Did the fact that your dad was an entrepreneur, how much did that play into you understanding the craziness that can go on with owning a business?
Well, my dad had a hardware store in Chicago. And so he definitely, you know, was an entrepreneur, had to work a lot of hours. You know, just growing up, he would be gone. You know, he would leave in the morning with us going to school. You know, he would get on the road for his commute and wouldn't be home until dinner time. We always waited to eat dinner with him. And there were some times because of help issues, he would have to work 6, sometimes even 7 days a week. And so, you know, that was just my expectation of what family life looked like. So I think when you were working as much as you were, it wasn't a big shocker to me. It wasn't like it was a conversation we were having about whether that was, you know, acceptable. It wasn't an acceptable or unacceptable conversation. Right. It was, this is what has to happen.
And I think it's fair to say your memory is way better than mine when it comes to the details.
That's scary.
Well, it was, but I don't recall, of course we had disagreements, but I don't recall there ever being disagreements to the point where you hated Grunder Landscaping.
No, I mean, Grunder Landscaping was what, you know, put the roof over our head and food on the table. And, you know, so not at all.
You know, one of my mentors that we did a session on, and you got to know Clay Mattil really, really well. He was a tremendous mentor and friend to us and a great client as well. And he would often say that your business is either your baby or it's your mistress. You know, the baby is the thing that you want to nurture. You're proud of it. You want to show it off. You want to watch it grow. You know, I think this business has always been my baby. And I give you a lot of credit for that because I never felt bad working late. And I know we were talking sometime in the last year, and I remember saying, you know, I missed a lot of things. And you really made me feel good because you said, okay, you missed some things, but you didn't miss the big stuff. Like the business did give us freedom that I could go catch a game or I could go get a play.
Or help with the carpool.
Or help with the carpool. But like after dinner, it might mean I had to come back up here and work for a couple more hours.
Right.
Talk about some of that stuff. And we hear work-life balance a lot. I don't remember you and I ever fighting over that. And I don't even really remember the topic of work-life balance. That's something that's come about in the last 10 years.
We didn't have the luxury of that conversation.
Okay. Why?
It was more about this is what had to be done. While we were putting family first, we had to also, you know, support that family and work supported that family. And so sometimes putting family first meant you having to work so that we could do all the things that, you know, we put on our priority list. I think we both were, you know, faith was very important to us. And we
went to church every Saturday night or Sunday and it was there,
Well, yeah. And I think it ordered our life. And I feel like that was very important. So, you know, I think we both were, you know, grew up in more traditional homes of what, you know, the house and how
I think you
run
can say it. Some young people right now might laugh, but it was kind of like my role was to make money. My role was to do the yard, the trash cans, you started out with some of the bills,
clean
the garage, fix the cars,
pick out the boxes. I would just throw in garbage.
Right.
I would just throw out the door of the garage. And
then what did you do?
And I did everything else.
Right.
So, and you know, did the cooking and the cleaning and the, you know, kept the kids alive, you know, the best I could. And so, you know, got them from here to there, managed the calendar and the schedule. And, you know, so yeah, we both, you know, had our roles, and It wasn't, you know, there were definitely times where we both felt, you know,
maybe taken for granted.
Yeah. And maybe a little resentful that our load felt heavy.
That
at
you
times,
got, that, you got, you know, diapers at home and I get to go to lunch.
Would
for
I
the
have
client.
Minded if you wanted to cook dinner one night? Probably not. So, but, you know, we both fell into, you know, having our roles.
Why do you think that you've always embraced the business so much? Is it just a little bit of your dad? I mean, we've never really talked about this to this degree. Was it your dad that you saw your dad? Was it that we've done a good job communicating? Was it that when we've had problems, we've just kind of talked about it, all that stuff? Like, why do you think it's worked?
I mean, I think, you know, nothing happens in a day. And I think it has been a growing experience. And I think, you know, what it was back when we were first married is different than what it is now. And we just, I mean, it's been happy.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it was just get through each day.
That's right.
And we got through each day, and then the next day came and we got through that day. And, you know, and those days, there were a lot of good days, but there were also some not so great days. But, you know, you just, again, through your faith, through, you know, wanting, you know, the best for your family, you know, we just every day woke up and tried our best.
There were some cool things that happened. Like, I remember when we moved from the house that we started out with into a lot nicer home. And that was a really cool thing that the business enabled us to do. And then that home no longer met our needs. And we wanted something a little bit bigger with some land that if you didn't kick the soccer ball, you were 4 yards down. Mm-hmm. And that was because of the business. And while I've always considered you basically my partner in the business, I mean, I couldn't do what I'm doing if you weren't there along with me. What advice would you have? Like, if one of our daughters was asking you, you know, Mom, how did you and Dad do that? How'd you not kill each other? How did, you know, my husband start in this business? What advice would you have? Would you tell him to get in the business? Would you tell him not to do it? What would you tell him?
I mean, first, I think you have to work in your skill set. And, you know, your skill set, you know, you do it well. I never asked for things that were outside of your skill set. You never asked things of me.
That's true.
And out of my skill set.
That's
and
very
I
good
think
advice.
The, you know, like the finances, I did try to tackle those early in our marriage, doing the checkbook. And we decided that was not really in my skill set. And I did not feel comfortable with it. I didn't like it, you know, but I like to entertain. I like to be social with people and meet new people and see new places. And so, you know, some of the things that I'm asked to do with the business has been within my skill set.
I mean, many people listening have been to our house for a dinner at one of our events and got to meet you and probably get a lot of insight into why, you know, I'm a happy guy. I mean, you've been nothing but supportive of me. I've really been really fortunate, Lisa. As you know, my mom and my dad were extremely supportive of my business. Now, my mom got scared a lot. Like, what are you doing? You know this. Like, she just did not understand. At one point, she thought I was dealing drugs. She thought that's where the money. I'm not making that up. But I've been very fortunate. Like, my entire family has supported this.
Yeah.
You know, it's our 40th year in business, and there was a reel that was put out yesterday showing me from when I was 17 years old. And I don't know if you know this or not, but all of our kids reposted that reel on there. Well, it's just cool. I mean, so, I'm not going to get teary eyed on it right now, but like, I've never felt like I wasn't supported. And I think that's a huge thing, that when you know your family's behind you and believes in you, that's a pretty strong thing. Now, hopefully that's not just you being nice, which you are nice, but hopefully I've earned that. Right. But hopefully I earned that by being there when I needed to be there. I mean,
And you had a lot of flexibility. I mean, the kids always tell the story, you know, here I was a teacher, so I actually did not have as much flexibility during the day. So, but they also knew you were kind of, what's the nice word? The pushover. So,
if
you know,
they forgot something,
they would call him because I would be like, listen, suck it up, buttercup. You're going to have to just deal with it. Or they didn't like their lunch that day. So they would call
you. I forgot that.
Instead.
You're right. And I would go get them lunch.
You know,
and take
you had
them
the
lunch.
Flexibility.
Yeah.
I did not. And so, you know, and they saw that. They also saw your passion for things. And I think they admire that. And I think you have that passion. And so, you know, then it makes it worth it.
Okay. But before, because this is a good segue, and we didn't rehearse this or anything, this is just a conversation. My passion is good, but it's not always good because my intensity is a lot, and I've had to have professional help for it and talk a little bit about good intensity and also share the bad intensity, because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of guys and gals watching, listening to this right now, and are probably shaking their head like they can relate.
I have said this to you numerous times that, you know, you're at a 10 and I need you at a 3.
Right.
And because sometimes that intensity train coming at somebody, and it's sometimes isn't about me. It could be about, you know, anything really. It could be, and you know, you get very passionate and,
right,
and it just that intensity coming at someone can be a lot. So I think you've learned how to deal with that. I think, you know, the saying, don't sweat the small stuff is important because, you know, there's a lot of things you just can't control, and getting so uptight about things you just have no part of controlling is just a waste of energy. And there's so many things that you could spend your energy on.
I think the biggest thing that's helped me there is, number one, a psychologist taught me a method for coping with it that's called notice, pause, allow. You notice it, you pause it, you say, is it really going to change my life? Should I just calm down? And you just allow it. But I think even more than that, like as our kids got older, I was watching, like, I know they're going to imitate how I behave, and I don't want my kids acting like that. And then the psychologist told me one time, Marty, when you react with anger, nobody hears the message. They just see and feel the anger. You're actually pushing them away from you. They don't want to listen to you. And when she said that, I was like, oh my gosh. So that's been a helpful. The intensity, I think, as long as you have the right filter, and you know, like the intensity I have to grow a business, which 55 years old, 40th year in business, and we're growing at a greater clip right now than we ever have. Now, there's a lot that goes into that story. It's not just my intensity, but I'm certainly not sitting back. You know, we're helping people in the Grow Group grow their business. Obviously, we want to grow our own business. All right. Well, that's very, very helpful. Thank you. You went back to work teaching kindergarten. Why'd you do that?
Well, I was just ready for, you know, I mean,
adult interaction,
just that place for me,
that,
you know, place where it's, I could do something well and it could be mine and, you know, and that was my, you know, that was in my skill set. And so the opportunity, I mean, I just kept praying for, you know, what's next? I mean, just because you have the time to do things doesn't mean you have the desire. And so, you know, I was ready for something new. And so then the opportunity presented itself and I took it very quickly.
Right.
I mean, the phone call came on a Monday. I was back to work on a Wednesday. And
you basically came home and told me you were going back to work. And I remember I asked you, what does it pay? And what was your answer?
I don't know.
I mean, most people, if they would get a job, they would ask how much it paid. You didn't, because you were just doing it for the love of helping.
Yes, right.
And also, newsflash, you don't work at a parochial school if you want to get rich.
Right. And so it was, you know, at the Catholic school where our kids were at. Our oldest was actually in high school by then, but the rest of them were there. And so it was, you know, it was great. It was just the right door opened to me at the right time in our lives. And, you know, it was busy. It was crazy. It was hard. It was all that. It wasn't all magical, but it was worthwhile.
I think it would be wrong if we didn't get a little bit of your wisdom in terms of a kindergarten teacher, because a lot of people here have kids that are probably not even old enough to be in kindergarten yet that are listening. Why is kindergarten so important?
Well, it's the foundation of all other things. And so, you know, as the book says, you know, all the things you ever learned in life, you learned in kindergarten. You learn how to, you know, be social in the world. You learn how to regulate your feelings, how, you know, you learn from peer pressure. You also learn, you know, what it feels like to learn things and be able to do things independently, learn that autonomy. And now kindergarten is, you're learning how to read in kindergarten. You're learning math, you're learning science, you're learning all these foundational skills that are so important. And when that is not happening at that time in your life, it just makes the foundation a little shaky. So, but the best advice I ever heard at a conference was as a teacher, but I think it holds true for families and business owners, is comparison is the thief of joy. And, you know, you just can't compare yourself. And I think, you know, with kindergarten as a teacher, I saw that, you know, you always saw what that teacher down the hall was doing, these amazing things, and you just didn't feel like you were measuring up. But, you know, everybody learns how to do everything their own individual way, and it's good. And everybody has different gifts. And I hope, you know, the kindergartners in my class also felt that. So
thank you. We have four adult children. And so it's just you and I in the house. We still amazingly get
just
along.
Just us now.
We still get along and still have a lot of fun. Looking back on the 31 years of marriage, raising four kids, we're grandparents now. Our oldest daughter has a little girl that we just absolutely adore. So much fun, I know. Mm-hmm. What advice do you have? Like, we didn't follow any script. There wasn't a book that we read. I think faith has played a big part of it. I think that you, both of us, have been very honest with each other. When something has gone wrong, we've talked about it. I don't believe our kids could recollect a time where we went berserk on each other in front of them. When there was an argument, it was...
Close the door.
Yeah, we closed the door. And I think we taught them some
mostly
things. Mostly, right. And you're stronger than me, so I wouldn't have a fist fight with you. So what advice do you have? Like, for the aspiring entrepreneur, that maybe we have someone contemplating asking a young lady for their hand in marriage, or, you know, and they have a business. How does all this play together? Like, when you think back, what did we do right? What could we maybe do better if we had to do it over again?
I think we both are very, very good communicators. And I think we communicate. Sometimes we over communicate, which is not always the best thing.
That's a good point.
I think we do communicate, and I think we always have. I'm not good at hiding my feelings. So if I'm mad, you're going to know it. And Same with you. And I think that has been good, because it's forced us kind of deal with things and make changes. And, you know, that road was bumpy. I mean, it wasn't all...
Oh, no.
Right. It was not the yellow brick road. I can tell you that. We had some scary monkeys at times too. And that was, you know, that's kind of marriage. So... Right.
Well, and I know there's times when I've told you, hey, it's not going so well. And I did learn not to, like, my version of it, if I tell you it's not going so well, you think that it's bad. Like, do we have to sell a car? Do we
have
to put a kid up for
anxiety.
Adoption?
I know.
And so I learned not to say that.
The financial anxiety is
right. Because it was never, we were never on the verge of bankruptcy. It wasn't anything like that. It's just, it's hard when you run a business. Like, you're the only sole of source of income, and the job that you thought you were going to get, you didn't get it. Or your biggest client, like, one time we had the biggest client went out of business and we lost all that. That was back in the 90s. So there's just all those things. One of the things that I think is awesome that you've done, 10 years ago, I don't think you knew if we had $100 or 300 million. We don't have 300 million. I can assure you that, but we got more than $300, and you weren't really interested in it. I don't think you were really that interested. We hired somebody to help us understand the money, the needs for the money, our retirement, how all that gets put together. And we learned a lot from that person. And then we moved on to somebody that we work with today I think it's fair to say we love this outfit. They're fantastic. How has you understanding the income that comes from Grunder, the income that comes from the Grow Group, the other things that we have, how has that helped you, your understanding of money? How do you feel that's helped you?
I mean, it's helped me hugely in my anxiety over finances. It has always just been my place of anxiety. And so the first person we spoke with, she really went about financial planning from a perspective of the psychology of your relationship with money. And we both had to do two different lists. You know, you did your list, I did mine, basically prioritizing what things give you anxiety. And she did a better job easing my anxiety, but also helping you understand how I come about these, you know, to these conversations. And so that was hugely helpful. We also did a lot of, you know, the planning part of, you know, planning for college and putting money away for college.
I forgot.
And then, you know, I was like, wait, we're going to have weddings.
Wait,
we got to put
weddings?
Money away for weddings.
We got to pay for weddings. Oh my gosh.
And
we've paid for two, almost a third.
We're almost on the third. So
And they're not cheap.
You have to plan for those. And so that was, you know, helpful. And I think that just really helped us too. I mean, if finances is one of those big reasons for divorce, you know, it is important to talk about it, but also to honor how each person feels about the money and the priorities of how to spend the money. You know, and we've had some hard conversations about that too, both ways, you know, of how we should spend the money.
Right. And I think that would be one thing if I had to do it over again. I would have worked with a financial planner when we were in our 20s.
Earlier.
Yeah. Because I don't think that was, now we've always been savers and we've been smart, but that's not my, I mean, I didn't, my degree's in business. I'm more of a leadership and a marketing person. I'm not a finance guy. Now I've become a halfway decent finance guy. I could probably coach someone on their finances knowing what I know now. But gosh, I think we waited a little. That's probably one thing. Mm-hmm. If we went back, we would have been better served there. Is there anything else that you think back? I know one of the things that one of my mentors, Les Banwart, instructed me to do was to have all the kids come in and work at the business so that they could never say, well, Dad, you never gave me a shot. So all four of them came in and they've all worked here. And I don't think that any of them hold any animosity from what I can tell about the business. Does that seem like that was a good thing that we did that as well?
Not only that, but then also the nobody's allowed to come into the business.
Right? Talk about that. Talk about that.
And I think that's important that they have to go out into the world, you know, sow some oats or live where they want to live and work with different people, get different skill sets and exposure to different cultures of the workplace. Because, you know, in your 20s, you just, you know, you think it's supposed to be one way and it's not. And you don't want them coming into a family business, you know, not seeing.
And it's funny. And you know why we think this. You know, as a consultant, I can't tell you, ladies and gentlemen, how many times that I had to go into a business and I had to tell a father and a mother or just the father that, hey, you know, your son's working over here in production and he's really not doing a great job. I don't think he wants to be here. And he's here because he doesn't want to disappoint you. Now, when I say how many times have I had to done that, I can recall off the top of my head about three times, but enough, like I see it. And I just think that when you anoint your kid and you make them come into the business, I think you rob them of a little bit of their own identity, like letting them make it on their own. It's pretty clear that our youngest, our son Grant, graduated from college last May. We'd love to have him in right here. He was an excellent worker. He loved landscaping. He's a people person. He's a salesman, but it wouldn't be good for him to come here right out of school, would it have been?
No, and I think too, then you start, do they feel obligated and that's why they're coming? Do they feel like they're doing you a favor? And so then you have this, you know, not balanced scale. I think it has to be a job. And again, go see what the world's like. And sometimes the world's not great and that's what they need to go see. And then they'll have maybe a better appreciation too when they do come and see what is
on. I'll be honest with you. I'd like nothing more to have Grant Grunder doing some sales for us at some point.
And I selfishly would love that as well. You know, have them all closer. So
it would be fun. We're getting close to wrapping up the Grow Show powered by Steel. We have Lisa Grunder, my wife, in today. Thank you for coming over. Is there anything else you want to share? Like any advice you'd give young parents, younger entrepreneurs, or even the entrepreneur that's our age? You know, balancing work and family and all those things, anything maybe we didn't touch on?
To say I have advice means I have mastered it all. And
No.
I can't say
we have
that, you know, we have. Again, you know,
we're
all just do our best and, you know, that's all we can do. And, you know, forgive yourself when things, you know, when you don't do everything, maybe some days aren't your best and you got to have some grace and forgiveness for yourself too.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. Is there any way we can have your chocolate chip cookie recipe?
Oh my gosh.
Can we attach it to the show notes?
Secret recipe?
Yes.
I'll think about it.
All right, well, we may have it in the show notes, folks. The cookies are fantastic. Lisa, love you. Thank you for
coming. They're not my recipe.
No, but it's a great one.
I don't get credit.
It's worth sharing.
It is, you know.
Thank you for coming up here. Love you very much. It's been a lot of fun. 31 years. In July, and here's looking to another 31 years. So that would make us pretty old. I think we might be able to do it.
Yeah.
We might be able to. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this week's edition of The Grow Show powered by Steel. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to The Grow Show. And if you can, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more success-minded landscape professionals find us. And if you really want to help us, share this episode with your team or any landscape pro you know, or maybe even your spouse or significant other on this one. Thanks for joining us on The Grow Show. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Grow Show. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and head to growgroupinc.com for more information and resources to grow your landscaping business. A special thanks to the folks at Steel, whose support makes this podcast possible and whose reliable handheld power equipment makes our jobs easier daily. We'll talk to you next week.